call this meeting order at 6:40 p.m. for Land and Natural Resource Cultural Preservation Committee on February 20th, 2017. I'd like to ask Pastor Lowe if you could give us an invocation this morning, or this evening.
Which one?
Oh, I'm sorry. Tim.
Heavenly Father, once again, Lord, we do thank you for all the many blessings you give us, Lord. We just pray that you just continue to watch over us and watch over these men and women, Lord, as they dictate and as they examine all things that come before them, Lord. Just bless them and God direct them. Lord, bless our Creek Nation also. Lord, we thank you for all these things. We put all these things into your hand. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for that. Roll call, McGazy.
Bill Proctor.
Here.
Mark Randolph.
Here.
Bill Beaver.
Here.
Thomas Yahola.
Here.
Mitch Jack. Chairman, I've got four present, one absent.
Four present and one absent constitutes a quorum. Any business transacted this evening would be official. Next we have is approval of minutes for January 17, 2017. I give the committee time to review and ask for a motion.
Chairman, I'll make a motion to accept the minutes with any necessary changes.
Motion's been made to accept the minutes for any necessary changes by Mark Randolph.
Second.
Seconded by Dale Beaver. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Those minutes have been approved. Next we have is order of business and church and ceremonial grant applications. Arbica Indian Baptist. We have representatives from them. Arbica, would you come up here please? Evening. Tell us a little bit about your application and what it would be used for. We all each have what it is for.
Okay. With
just kind of what you intend to use the grant money for.
Remodeling and repairing the church,
mm-hmm.
Building, and restrooms and fellowship hall, cafeteria, and sidewalks for wheelchair. Accessibility into the church and mm-hmm. on the grounds. And we our quote has on the addition to the restroom was over the limit, so mm-hmm. we was looking to use what we can on the other two phases that we have before you, and then use that remainder of the 50 thousand was to repair and remodel the existing restroom that we have.
Okay. Do we have any questions?
Three quotes.
Mm-hmm, that's what I was looking at.
Accent Construction give us the least quote on the three phases. We mm-hmm. chose to go with them.
And how much is that one?
That is at 76.
Okay.
And the other were above that.
Mm-hmm. There was one total there. All right. And this is the one you're. This is the one you're going
yes.
with.
Yes.
Anything that's over 50, right. You know, you're responsible for.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Go ahead, Mark.
I was just going to say, I'd seen where they were doing fundraising and that they had done a thing on Facebook to raise funds also, which I was glad to see.
Mm-hmm. All right. Thank you. Dale?
I was just looking between the $50,000 and then the $7,000. It seems like we require more for the $7,000 than we do the $50,000. Like we had to have this contract and then make sure they have proof of insurance for the contractor. Do we not have to have that for the $50,000?
I believe we do. I think it applies here.
Once we did it in the camp houses, it was submitted to that.
Right, the whole thing?
Yeah.
Okay. So, it's supposed to be in our packet then? Is this?
Oh, no, on this one, I guess it really hadn't incorporated in this right here, I guess, but I think it was we had said it was kind of supposed to be. I guess it's not on our list. It probably needs to be looked at. And then, I guess we're just like you said, we're going to require all of like their insurance and their any liability with if you're going with a contractor.
Right. The contractor had told me that he is bonded and he's been approved to this tribe before. That's what he told me.
Okay.
Can we approve it then upon them getting the information to us?
Yes. Okay. Yeah, he can get that. He's got any information. Right. Then again, we may have it, but if you can give that for us.
Okay. Motion to pass.
Second.
Motion for due pass by Mark Randolph. Second by Thomas Shihola. Roll call.
Mark Randolph.
Yes.
Del Beaver.
Yes.
Thomas Shihola.
Yes.
Chairman, I got 3 in favor, 0 against.
3 in favor, 0 against. That motion passes. Everything correct on your information here. The phone number and address and all that. Yes. Okay. All right. Yes. Once we receive all that information concerning your contractor, everything should be okay then.
Well, he need the contract that's with the camp house application.
Mm-hmm. Do what now?
Well, he need the contract that's with the camp house application too.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. That's it. Hello. Mm-hmm. Next on the agenda, we have the camp and camp house fellowship hall grant applications. First up is Perry Springs Indian Baptist Church, Randolph Smith. Good evening. Could you tell us a little bit about what your application is over?
Yes, we're trying to do an engineering fellowship hall and some linoleum and some more double doors.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we're putting for.
And then you have a contractor with that also?
Yes, we've already set that everything in the last time. We've had the license and everything.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Any questions? The amount?
What's the amount that you're asking for?
It was just a $7,000.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Okay. More questions?
Motion to pass.
This could be the 6, 745, 59.
It'd be that plus that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you're requesting a total of 6,000 plus 745?
Yeah, because one of them was for doors, and the other was the linoleum, and then one was the heat and air by itself.
So
it came up to almost 7,000.
Yeah, we'll have to give, unless you can find something for the remaining, it'll be 6,745.
Okay, I knew it was close to 7, but yeah, okay. Whatever's on there is what's needed.
Okay.
So we'll need total up to everything.
Mm-hmm. So you have to have receipts for anything that adds up to that, up to 7.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Over.
Mm-hmm.
It says on his, it says the church is in need of heat and air in our fellowship hall, and that there is funding left out of the 7,000. Church is requesting to use the balance for repairing of the ceiling replace the front entrance doors and redo the floors in the fellowship hall.
Mm-hmm.
But there's no, we just need like the price, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what that was for, right? On that one, the second.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, is that where it is? Oh, okay.
Yes,
it was. So it's right on there. Okay. I think you're all right. Yeah. Okay, everything. I didn't see the second page.
Because I know we had sent all the stuff in because they wanted to get three
right.
people. So we sent all of them in and they told us which ones we could use to come up to seven.
Okay.
So the rest of them were too high.
Okay. All right.
That's total.
Yeah, your total will be
$6,995.59.
Okay. Motion.
I'd like to motion to approve.
Motion to approve the application.
Second.
By Thomas Yehola, seconded by Mark Randolph. Roll call.
Thomas Yehola?
Yes.
Mark Randolph?
Yes.
Bill Beaver?
Yes.
Chairman, 3 in favor, 0 against.
3 in favor, 0 against. That motion passes.
Sure,
all
right. Sure, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Next we have is Randall Indian Baptist Church, Tim Lowe. Yes. What are you, exactly are you doing on your fellowship hall?
We're repairing the fellowship hall, and that's all we have, a small fellowship hall, so we're adding on to that a little bit, small room for overflow on eating.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I'm going to put a little bit more on there, but whatever's above that, then we're going to take care of that.
So are you going with the McCoys for $69.83?
Yeah.
Okay. Any questions?
Make a motion to pass the amount requested $69.83.
Motion been made by Mark Randolph. Do pass.
Second.
Seconded by Thomas Yehola. Roll call.
Mark Randolph.
Yes.
Del Beaver.
Yes.
Thomas Yehola.
Yes.
Chairman, I got 3 in favor, 0 against.
3 in favor, 0 against. And motion passes. All right. Thank you. Next we have is Grant Chapel United Methodist Church, Josephine Deer.
Applying for to get a roof fixed for our fellowship hall.
Mm-hmm.
Grant is our church is way out in the country, 5 miles west of Welty. We're way out there where you need to sell service, and was established back in around 1907.
Mm-hmm.
And we really need a new roof on our fellowship hall, and so that was what I was applying for, was a new roof. We came out to the estimate that was given to me that was going with was the $4,600.
Mm-hmm.
If I knew it could go up to $7,000, I would ask for it because we need a new well pump.
Well, I mean, this is a one-time thing. Mm-hmm. So once you're eligible up to $7,000, but if you take $45,000,
I can't get no more.
Mm-hmm. If you would like to and get some bids on what you're looking for, I mean, you can come back next month unless you really need this roof.
We need the roof, but we also need a well pump.
Mm-hmm.
Pump is just about, it's ready to go out anytime.
Yeah, I mean, it would benefit you if you could just go out and, kind of add to this application here.
Okay, I can
if
do
that's
that.
Okay with
yeah, I can do that. Get some bids on a well pump. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
If you get it back by March 9th, I can have it on next month's agenda.
By March 9th?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I can do that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Motion to postpone for a month.
Okay, motion been made to postpone for 1 month by Thomas Yehola.
Second.
Seconded by Del Beaver.
Okay.
Roll call.
Thomas Yehola?
Yes.
Mark Randolph?
Yes.
Del Beaver?
Yes.
Chairman, I got 3 in favor, 0 against.
3 in favor, 0 against. That motion been postponed. We'll see you again.
Thanks, Casey.
You're welcome.
All right. Next we have is Little Casita Methodist Church, Wilson King Jr.
Yes.
All right. Tell us what you are looking for.
Put a heating and air conditioning unit in our fellowship hall.
Mm-hmm.
And we've had two 220 units in there, but they got stolen.
Mm-hmm.
So we're hoping this will help.
Which proposal you went? Did you go with
7 Cal?
Seven. Okay.
And he quoted us at 7,000.
Mm-hmm. Any questions?
Motion to pass.
Motion for due pass. By Mark Randolph, seconded by Thomas Shaholda. Roll call vote.
Mark Randolph.
Yes.
Del Beaver.
Yes.
Thomas Shaholda.
Yes.
Chairman, I got 3 in favor, 0 against.
3 in favor and 0 against. That motion passes.
I want to make a comment. When we had the community meeting there at the Holyville Indian Community, and I was announced our applications that we had, and so I had a quiz with the community members. And I asked them, I wanted them to tell me what the location was for each of these churches. And so it was fun. It took a little time for all of them to get them located, but that's what we had to do. So it was a learning experience, and I think they enjoyed it. Thank you.
All right. Next item we have on the agenda is TR-17-012. A tribal resolution of Muscogee Creek Nation authorizing Muscogee Creek Nation Cultural Center and Archives Department to release certain collection items to Melba Ann Shakota Eads and Doretta Lee Shakota, which was postponed on 1/17/17. Sponsor is Mark Randolph.
Motion due pass.
Motion for due pass by Mark Randolph.
Second.
Seconded by Dale Beaver. We're in discussion. This was postponed last month until this month, and Mark, go ahead.
Yeah, I'd just like to say I talked to Miss Eads. She's still maintaining that she would like these items returned, and I did have a meeting with the museum department. They did come up with a document that's here before you. And then a speaker just gave me this. I guess this came in today. It's kind of like a response to the document. And I know there's it's been a real learning thing for myself as far as the history goes, and even just the name Samuel Shakota. And they were telling me how there was 3 of them, you know, and there's just a lot of it's a complex issue. But I did speak with Miss Eads today, and she would like her things returned. And I told her that I'd come here again, and I'd motion for it, and let's see what happens. So,
all right, thank you.
We discussed this last time, almost 2 hours. So, you know, I don't know what more I can say, really. We've seen the documents, and we've heard from both sides. So, thank you.
All right. Any other comments? Yeah.
I've thought about this quite a bit the last few days, and there's a lot of information to go through. But one of the things that I thought about today was, as a national council, do we have the authority to give away the tribe's property? That's one of the things that I thought of. And I would kind of like to propose that to maybe Kevin. All intents and purposes, it's the tribe's property. That's arguable, I guess, depending on what side of the fence you're on. But does the National Council have authority to give away the tribe's property?
Well, I think with respect to that, under the Constitution, the council is charged with being responsible for the nation's property. So I think that the answer is you have the ability to. I think maybe what needs to be looked at, though, in this situation, plus I believe the collection was purchased by the nation as well, so I think the nation owns it also. So I think the concern for the nation would be there's a little bit of, I think, gray area out there over, as Representative Randolph stated, there are three Samuel Chakotis. There are various facets of the family. I think there's some who want to stay with the nation, some who want it returned to the family. So I think that the concern I have is the legal concern is that if it were turned over to the family who's requesting it, that portion of the family who's requesting it is the other portion who doesn't want it, or other facets who are claiming a right to it as well as family members. Does that put the nation in a serious situation with respect to liability? And I think that possibly could. So if it were determined to, if the council were to decide, the committee tonight were to decide to move forward and grant it, I think at a minimum there needs to be what's called an indemnification clause. And I don't know if Mrs. Eade Shakota, or her sister know that what that would do is put all liability on them, and if someone wanted to sue the nation saying, hey, you gave my, what I think is mine, to Melba and to her sister, they have to step in and take legal responsibility for that. And if they want to sue the nation, they step in and represent us, and that could get expensive. It would require going out and hiring an attorney. So that's my concern. The other concern is the fact that we just passed a code last month that would deal with situations like this. And I think the goal, and Ray Lynn may be able to speak better about that, or Veronica, excuse me. The goal and purpose behind that is transparency, fairness, equality, treat everyone the same. So, you know, if we pass it and don't utilize it, then why did we pass it? So I kind of feel we've got that in place. And I guess my thought would be for the family, that if they go through the process and perhaps they don't get the decision they want, then I think perhaps the nation could look at stepping in and passing a resolution to turn that over. But I guess I feel is they have not exhausted their administrative remedies here at the nation, because we do have a process for them to follow now to go through a situation like this. And not just them, but anyone else in a similar situation. So I think that's why the policies were approved last month, so all people in a similar situation could come through and go through the process. So that may have been a long-winded answer to your question, but I think under the Constitution, the council does have that ability. I think that's one why the policy was brought to you all last month, because you do have the authority under the Constitution to deal with the nation's property and determine how it's disposed, sold, conveyed, etc. So you all did act on that by taking that responsibility last month and passing the code. And so we do have a code in place, and I think, again, fairness for everybody I would recommend that they go through the process. And then if they've exhausted their remedies, their administrative remedies here at the nation, then I think that if they weren't satisfied with that, perhaps the council could step in and make a decision. Maybe even considering the information that the commission considered, how they came to their decision, and even that decision itself, and determine whether it was a good decision or not, perhaps, and then move forward from there, perhaps.
What about is tribal court taking the tribal court option for the
I believe so. I would hope it wouldn't get to that point, but I guess that's an option too. I think what Representative Randolph, and I hope I'm okay and I'm speaking incorrectly for you. You know, I think the idea was if it could be turned over to them, you know, we should turn it over to them. I would say if we didn't have the policy in place, perhaps maybe that could be a direction to go. But again, since we've got a procedure in place now, I think it's there for that purpose, and they can go through that process. And then again, if they're not satisfied with the decision, I think council could look at it, and maybe that would be another way to avoid going to court. So.
Thank you.
Yes.
I'm just going to point out that we didn't receive a quote on, in terms of digitizing the documents. I think we received two quotes. Is that correct? And
one. When you want everyone as well. So.
That's about $4,000 for us to digitize all the documents, and then that was an option of us providing a digitized copy of the actual collection, the documents that she's seeking, mm-hmm. and that she would basically get a digitized copy. That's something that we would pursue if we decide to keep it. And I will point out that, you know, this is going to be a common issue, I think. You know, we have another individual that's now seeking a painting. It's not connected to this. It's a common thing in all museums where people learn of something that was donated, and all of a sudden, for whatever reason, they seek the objects back. That's why all museums across the country have, you know, really face this on a weekly basis, and it's I just don't want to set bad precedent. I think the precedent is very important. Like Kevin said, exhaust your administrative remedies. We do have a collections advisory committee. We meet. We have minutes. We have rules and procedures. And my recommendation, and you know, the council can choose how you may. My recommendation would be in line with Kevin's and also with the collections manager, for us to deny the request and just provide a digitized copy of the material to Ms. Eads.
All right, thank you. Yes.
So I guess my question was, under the current policy that we just passed last month, Ms. Kane is not eligible to receive any of the artifacts that came from her grandfather.
Under the current policy, we haven't really enacted that policy in the process that's there. It went through a legislative method, so that policy actually hasn't been put forth yet and exercised. And so at best, with that one page that we issued, was all of the attachments that we received in TR 1712. And I just noticed that there were sent some extra documents that I did not know was part of that legislation today. And so it's really more of just kind of being able to look at all of the information that's available and to have as transparent and almost a dialogue with them about other information or missing information. And in the legislative and the remedy that's sought here, it's harder to do that for us. It's, you know, it's the council that's initiating this. We didn't want to overstep our bounds too much to search for this information. And so this policy actually, and the procedure that's outlined here for request for return actually hasn't come. We haven't been able to do that yet. So it's inconclusive at best right now.
Okay.
Is that it?
Sure.
Any more?
Mr. Parker.
Yes.
the lady that is, you know, requesting through her niece, she is 90 years old. She's in a nursing home, and she can't come over here and see these things. And I think part of their the family's feeling was that, you know, and I think it's very gracious to offer the digitalized one. But part of it, I think, is just to touch something that belonged to their family. You know, just the feeling of handling it. And as far as, you have to tell us, you know, we went through the heirs. I don't know how many heirs there are. But in their way of thinking, she's the last six children, you know, and they've maintained the stance that these things should belong to her, you know. And that's where we get into all this gray area, you know, and we just recently, you know, did this policies and procedures. And I understand why. I know there's the precedent, any time we do anything, then, you know, it's like snowballs and everyone else, like you say, can come up and ask. But I just wish there was some type of way that and I don't know how to do it, you know. And we've discussed this a lot. We went back and forth. And I know, you know, from speaking with the Miss Eads today, you know, the family was not, she's not happy, her sister's not happy, and the lady, you know, they keep telling me we don't know how long she's going to be around, and you know, she wants to see these things, and but that's all. Thank you.
Yes.
I know I said that was it. I'm sorry, but I just, since sitting on this council, you know, there's a lot of things it's easy to make decisions about, economic development. There's other things that you know you have to think like safety people to do. And this one has been really emotional because we're re-traumatizing a family. We're actively being a part of traumatizing a family by denying them something that was theirs. Does that make sense? I mean, that's how I feel when I see this. It's one thing to say, oh, that Creek Museum Association wouldn't let us have them back or whatever, but this is us. This is the Creek Nation, and these are our citizens. So at what point do we quit thinking like white people and just be Indians for a little while? Thank you.
Any other comments? No comments?
My name is Shelley Davis, and I have been contacted by Ms. Eads. Now, this has been going on for about a year. I even been to the nursing home and seen Mary. She can get in her wheelchair, she can talk to you, but yes, her days are numbered, she's on dialysis, and it is emotional. When you have an elder asking you for their help to get back what belongs to them, they didn't give it, she swears she did not give it to Creek Nation, she gave it to Creek Nation to hold for her. So when she went to get it back, they're telling her no. And now you say she's been, well, I say she's been asking for this stuff now for a year, and then you just come up with a policy last month. I'm sorry, but you guys are not Native. It doesn't belong to you. You need to give it back to the family who it belongs to. Who's to say that she might pass in 2 months, and when she passes, she might put it in her will that it goes back to Creek Nation. Thank you.
Any other comments? Roll call vote.
Mark Randolph?
Yes.
Del Beaver?
No.
Thomas Shihola?
No.
Chairman, I got one in favor, two against.
One in favor, two against. That motion fails. Next item we have is TR-17-018. Tribal resolution from the Skokie Creek Nation authorizing the principal chief to execute a contract for the purchase of property located in Okmulgee County, Oklahoma. Sponsor is Del Beaver.
Chairman, make the motion due pass.
Motion for due pass by Del Beaver.
Second.
Seconded by Mark Randolph. Any discussion?
Jesse.
This is a 2.47 acres located on Highway 75 north of the Travel Plaza. It's for, and there's not a specific purpose, it's for increasing the nation's land base and for economic development. It does have Highway 75 footage. It's below appraisal value of what we've agreed to purchase it for. And there is a house on the property right now that we could look at disposing of that house to clear land for any other opportunity that we see fit for that property.
Any questions? Yes, Dale.
Jesse, you said it, the purchase price is less than the
appraised value. Yes, sir. We've added some in the NCA, we've added some money in there for you know, closing costs and environmental if needed.
More questions? Mark.
Questions?
Thomas, questions?
No. That's a long no. I'm looking for a map.
Mm-hmm. Supplied. There is one in there. I promise that.
I think it's the last page.
Mm-hmm.
I can get you a colored copy map.
No, it's okay.
I knew you. I knew you were going to ask for it.
Well, I've got a copy. I don't know where it's at on here.
I can get you a...
Well, if you can just show me what kind of where it's at.
There's another map.
Oh.
So there's our...
Okay, that's the, okay, that's the north one, that's right there, that's the industrial part, yeah, 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 y
This one right here. Question? You said it has a house on there right now?
Yes.
And we will.
Yeah.
It's not.
No.
Okay. Eventually be.
Yes.
Okay. Any questions? No questions. Roll call vote.
Del Beaver.
Yes.
Thomas Shahola.
Yes.
Mark Randolph.
Yes.
Chairman, I got 3 in favor, 0 against.
3 in favor, 0 against. That motion passes.
Thanks.
Thank you. Next item we have is TR-17-021, Tribal Resolution School Creek Nation repealing TR-16-022, a tribal resolution of the Muskogee Creek Nation authorizing the principal chief to execute a right-of-way and easement grant across tribal land for the construction, use, and maintenance of pipeline for Diamond Pipeline LLC in Okmulgee County, Oklahoma. Sponsors, Mark Randolph.
Motion
to
pass.
Motion for due pass by Mark Randolph.
Second.
Seconded by Del Beaver. Discussion.
I'd like to say something, Chairman. This, like the other bill we just came through, I thought about for a long time. And originally, when a bill came across in front of us for the Diamond Pipeline, it was just presented in a way that it seemed like, you know, just affected the casino, whether we were going to have a hotel or not. And it was just a little box. And at that time, I wasn't educated on all the pipeline things and what an easement was and what it meant. And I just looked at it as a box. I just looked at it as, well, we might want to put a hotel behind Duck Creek Casino sometime. So we're going to move it this way a little bit with this land they donated, and it's going to be right there. I started to receive, it wasn't for a few months. When we first got this built, there was no one that came before us. You know, there was no one that showed any opposition, spoke any opposition. No, it just seemed like a thing. The one thing I did look at is I looked at a map that showed pipelines, and there was just numerous pipelines.
Mm-hmm.
Through Oklahoma. So I was thinking, well, this ain't the first pipeline. This ain't no big deal. I went to Perkins over the weekend. We went through Cushing, and they have a big old pipe thing that says, you know, cross pipeline, cross thing with the world, you know. And then we saw everything happen at Standing Rock. and they began to educate the world, not only myself and other people and other tribal nations, but the world of the dangers of what could happen with the pipeline, allowing a pipeline to come through our lands. And then I had people begin to start to email me and call me, speak to me about it. And I started thinking about it more and more. And I said, on the way over here, when I was driving, I was thinking, I don't think we can sit by and idly sit by and watch the demise or the destruction of God's creation. That was the feeling that I was getting. And when I began to talk to people here, I realized there had been no environmental study, you know, the impact on our environment, our cultural department. They took the initiative to jump in, and they've done some great things. But then we have all these waterways it's going through. And I began to think of the people that had a well water right in that area. You know, what if there was a leak? How's it going to affect well water? Then we hear about all these dangers of man-made earthquakes, and this fracking, you know, and we have crude oil coming through that's flammable, you know. You hear all these things, and I began to wonder about all these things, and I saw it went through creeks, but it will go through the Mississippi River and the Arkansas River also. And when I worked on repealing this bill, I didn't want to seem like I was pointing fingers at anybody, not at our executive branch or our legislative branch or our attorney general or anybody. I just think that we're in a different place than we were before as far as being educated on what will happen, what we've seen happen in all these other areas. And so I thought to myself, I thought, you know, we are the stewards of this land, and we are here to look after the water and all these natural resources that are precious and life-sustaining. And I think it's very important. And that is the reason I worked on this bill to repeal it. I did invite a representative from Diamond Pipeline to come here today. He called me over the weekend. Someone had given him my phone number, and he wanted to meet with me, but I wasn't willing to meet with him by myself. I said, you're welcome to come to our committee meeting. We'll be discussing this on Monday night. You're welcome to come, and I'd be happy to give you some time to speak on the issue. But he sent, and I think he sent all of us an email today to council saying they weren't able to make it today. And so my spiel, more or less, is like looking at our priorities. What are our priorities? I know the casino is our bread and butter financially, but I think our priorities, we have to shift back as Native people and look at, you know, what's really important here and how are we going to sustain this place for future generations? How are we going to make sure our young people are going to have good water to drink and a good place to live? That's all. Thank you.
All right, thank you. Mr. Dillinger, did you have anything to add?
May I approach?
Yes.
I'll just come up.
Mr. Representative Randolph and I have spoken, I think, mainly through email, but we've talked about this, and I think we talked on the phone, too, as well. And so, I knew this was something that was coming forward. I think the concern, you know, when Mr. Randolph was telling me he was looking at legislation for this purpose to perhaps repeal this legislation, as an attorney, you know, the first thing you think of is, well, where are we, and legally, how will this affect the nation, repealing it? And I think from a legal standpoint, we did issue or pass the legislation approving the right-of-way and easement. I think that was passed in February of 2016. And then it was filed of record in March of 2016. This property came to the, well, I guess the concern for me legally for the nation is, you know, that's of record. It's been of record now almost a year, and things are obviously starting to happen and move forward. So I think the concern for me, and I think even Mr. Randolph, Representative Randolph, had asked me about it, you know, what does that legally, what type of a situation does that leave us in as a nation legally? And I think the concern is having a right-of-way easement of record. Diamond Pipeline has relied on that to start the process of digging and installing. And I think the concern for the nation that we have, and I think the reason this whole, the whole easement came about was when the nation passed its legislation accepting the property back in 2015, the idea was that we would be getting a warranty deed for this, and we would work through the process of ultimately putting it into trust. I believe we accepted it in July of 2015. In early August of 2015, Diamond Pipe, well, actually, let me step back. In June of 2015, Diamond Pipeline had already started a petition to condemn the property, and so that was existent on the land. We then passed the legislation, and we weren't aware of we weren't even considering the property at that time, so or it had not been presented to council at that time. And so we accepted or passed legislation in July 2015 to accept the piece of property. About 2 weeks later, Diamond Pipeline steps in and files a notice of their pending petition for condemnation, and that's to put anybody who has possession of the property on notice of, if you take this property, you're taking it with this condemnation and this plan for a pipeline to come through. 2 weeks, or not even 2 weeks, 2 days later, the owner of the property, Mr. Madison, turned around and provided a quitclaim deed to the nation, so it was transferred to us. We didn't even realize it had been transferred to us. Again, we were working from the perspective that we would have a title opinion done, a survey, environmental, do everything we normally do before we take the land. At that point, when he quitclaim deeded it to us, we took the land with the condemnation notice that was existent. We took it. There was already a cloud on title. So what happened next was in I think late December of 2015, early January, that's when our office was contacted. Diamond Pipeline was saying, we've got a lien, not a lien, we've got a right, a pipeline's coming through your property. We've got a superior title because of the condemnation proceeding that was filed well before you ever even had the title to the property. If you don't grant it, we're looking at suing you and suing the nation. We're suing the nation. So I think from that perspective, we were working towards trying to resolve the matter without being taken to court, without an expensive legal battle, just trying to avoid that. And, we had conversations with leadership and come to the conclusion that the best thing to do was to avoid litigation. And so, again, the title issue, we were stuck with the property with the superior title in the condemnation proceeding that had been created. So that was the perspective we were at in our office, was trying to avoid litigation and trying to resolve the issue. They did move the pipeline 300 feet, I think, I believe it's 300 feet or so away from the casino. I think that was part of the negotiation of, we again won't seek a lawsuit if they were saying, well, we'll move it. And that will kind of be the benefit for the nation. It's moved away from your casino. And again, at the time, we weren't thinking, we did not know, I think the nation as a whole did not know about what was soon to come up in with the Dakota Pipeline. So from a legal perspective, my concern is where that leaves us now, and that to pass the legislation tonight to repeal it, and then to ask us to look in to see if there's anything else we would have to do, I think there would be more steps we would have to do, and I think we're looking at another lawsuit now if we pass this. So that could be pretty expensive for the nation. Again, I think that the Diamond Pipeline has deep pockets. I think they would probably argue multiple of issues. They detrimentally relied on our previously filed right-of-way and easement. I don't know how strong a position we have legally. I guess I'm concerned about that. We are in the process of speaking with our title attorney that the nation uses for all of our title opinions. Unfortunately, when the legislation was brought down, he's been out of the office and will not be in again until tomorrow. So we've already kind of started the process of looking and seeing what has to be done, what we would do, what our strategy would be if this passes. But that is the concern. At this point, I don't feel that the nation has a strong legal position because of the right-of-way and easement that's been filed of record. It shows that we're consenting to this and allowing it. To turn around and revoke that at this point with the line being dug, pipeline being prepared to be laid, I think that's the concern, not that the other issues by Mr. Randolph and the other individuals who have raised concerns about our land and the water and our future, you know, those are valid too. But I'm looking at this from a legal perspective, and that's the concern. It doesn't mean steps can't be taken to protest this in other ways. Doesn't mean we couldn't issue something opposing still the pipeline. It may not look great that we have granted this, but I think we could still come out and say, even though we did environmentally and what it could do, we oppose it. So that's my concern. It's a purely a legal concern, a legal perspective of, you know, it's been almost a year since this warranty or this right-of-way and grant has been on record, and the pipeline has relied on it and started moving forward, and there's just a lot of concerns and questions I think I have for the nation and our success in a lawsuit.
Mm-hmm. So. Any questions, Thomas?
I'm going to support to, you know, repeal that. I know, you know, what you're saying, but it's the principle. And, you know, Standing Rock, it was, it came to a halt because the Corps did not issue an easement, which was required for that. But I think the administration that we have just put it on a fast start. And to me, that shows you didn't consider the native tribes and their concerns, and so you know, we supported that nation in that with the resolution, and I know, you know, what you're saying, but still, yeah, and going through the documentation that was handed to me, you know, this evening, I don't think the nation was given ample advance notice, you know, for, you know, consultation, and that is required, you know, I think by federal law, and that hasn't been adhered to. So that's my comments.
All right, thank you. Any other comments? James.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just have a question. So the pipeline, does it only cross the property that was given to us?
The easement that we've granted is only for that box that we've granted. What we granted to the pipeline, that's only permission for them to cover that portion of our property. Now, it does cross, you know, throughout the jurisdiction, but those are individual landowners and so.
But what I'm asking is, up at Duck Creek, in the RV ranch, the guy from the RV ranch gave us that land. Mm-hmm. So that's where the pipeline actually crosses. It doesn't cross from any property that we owned before that?
Not that I'm aware of.
I worked on this matter, and if there was property that the nation had owned that would have been crossed, we would have received advance notice of that and had the opportunity to negotiate a similar easement to the one that was done at this time. That would have been at the beginning, and we didn't have any property owned by the nation that the pipeline crossed. That's one of those deals where they managed to avoid all tribal land coming through the entirety of the tribal jurisdictional area. The way these domestic crude lines work is they are one of the only
energy transmission lines, whether it's natural gas, crude oil, whatever, that is not required to be permitted for the entirety of the line. It's only permitted by the Army Corps of Engineers at water crossings because of the very limited water to the United States rule. So we're at a significant disadvantage to be able to advocate for our rights for a pipeline that's coming through the tribal jurisdictional areas because there is no legal framework in place for us to protest if we don't have the actual ownership that the pipeline is crossing through. The way to address this is to petition the state, petition the feds for additional regulation or for expansion of the Section 106 consultation process to require any pipeline coming through tribal jurisdictional areas, regardless of whether it's on tribal property or not, for tribes to be consulted. That's going to be a big problem because you have a very powerful oil and gas lobby that is going to oppose that. So we're at a very difficult rock and a hard place as far as what the nation's responsibility is to advocate for itself and what our legal opportunities are to actually do that.
Yes.
That being said, so has that property been in place in trust?
The only documentation that I know we have for that piece of property is a deed, a quitclaim deed.
That's all.
I mean, the title opinion wasn't done, like you said, so we don't even know what title looks like. We have a survey that was done by some, I don't know who paid for that survey, and we don't have an abstract, we don't have a title opinion, we don't have any documentation, and so I couldn't even attempt to put that in trust. It, you know, like I said, it's just a 40-foot strip and that runs north and south, and the pipeline's going east and west, so I don't even know how much property that's taking in, correct? Am I correct in saying that?
I think it's 0.5, 0.5 acre.
Yeah, so there was no title care report then prior to it.
Thank you. Any other questions?
Chairman?
Yes.
I'd like to call Ms. Butler. Ms. Butler, would you like to add anything? Would you like to say something?
I'm from the Culture Preservation Office, and I just come to support Mark Randolph, and he had some questions about the tribe's involvement. The Culture Preservation Office has been involved since 2014, initial consultations that were done. And so I just wanted to answer any questions that anyone may have. The route does cross 100 miles of the Muskogee Creek Nation jurisdiction. None of it else, as far as our, we are aware, as everyone has stated, that no other part of the tribal land is involved with the route. And as Carly mentioned, that's pretty much seems to be on purpose to avoid any kind of confrontation with tribes or any other type of federal land. But I just am here to answer any questions and give an overview or anything about what we've been doing for the last 2 years in terms of protecting our cultural resources that could be impacted by the pipeline.
Thank you for all your help. Ms. Butler.
On one of these pieces of paper, it says that the Diamond approved tribal monitoring. So did they approve the 100 miles through our jurisdiction to pay for tribal monitoring?
Initially, we requested to have tribal people on the line so we can be aware of the construction for 100 of those miles. They first said no, that they couldn't afford that. We asked again. They said no. We offered, well, if we come up with their top 10 sites along this 100 miles that we consider sensitive areas that can be monitored, the pipeline company said no. But recently, they changed their mind and said yes. They offered to pay for Muskogee Creek Nation to have two tribal monitors on site to be there during construction to make sure that if anything was discovered, any archaeological sites or human remains, that we would be there to protect the sites. So that is the offer that's been made by Diamond Pipeline to the nation.
Okay, thank you. Kevin, if this is repealed and it essentially stops the pipeline, though, right, going through that strip of land, right?
Well, I think
I don't know that just the piece of legislation repealing it. I think there's more action we would have to take to notify Diamond Pipeline and to inform them we're pulling the right of way and easement. So I would assume they would file something in court, maybe some type of injunction to stop us from moving forward with our decision to halt things. So I don't know that just the legislation itself does that.
So, but originally back in when this passed in last February last year, we passed it, because like you said earlier, Diamond had the opportunity to put the pipeline right next to Duck Creek. And so this moved it 300 feet north of Duck Creek, right? And so how much further north did it have to go to get off our property?
I don't know that off the top of my head. I think it's near the northern part of our that little strip. So I don't know. I just don't know off the top of my head where how many feet you're talking to move it off of that little strip.
Right. So conceivably it could be cheaper just to move it north of our property than to have a big lawsuit then, right? On their part.
You know, I think just moving it 10 feet on from our property probably requires them, I don't know how far away to start moving the line, so I don't know that that's cheap just to move it north of our property. I think it may end up being a little more expensive, and you probably got to start on an engineer, but I would assume to get that moved, you've got to start probably somewhere on down the line, probably on the other side of 75 at least, and I don't know how far. So so that's my concern to halt it and require it to be moved. I think they would probably be able to tell us what that would cost them, and I think they would want that probably paid by us if we were to try to halt things. And even if they agreed to move it, they'd probably say, well, you know, we've relied on you. We've detrimentally relied. You said you were going to give it to us here, and now you're going to try to move. You want it moved so many feet to the north. They might be willing to do it, but it might end up costing us to do that, to pay for that. I mean, those are just possibilities. So,
so there's still quite a bit of possibilities out there, right?
Yeah, I guess so. But I think the concern, again, as I stated earlier, I think the hard thing for us to overcome is we've got a right-of-way and easement of record. We consented to, we signed off on it. It's been filed for a year. That's pretty hard to overcome, I think.
All right, thank you. Speaker.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Ms. Buck, you said they've agreed for 2 hour people to oversee 10 spots for the 100 miles.
It ended up being 18 sensitive areas that were identified by the department that we thought they were near cemeteries, near churches, near archaeological sites that we thought we would like to be there. So we identified 18 areas and they approved for monitoring on that. So they basically sent us a contract to be a subcontractor to the pipeline. Within our department, we have 7 heritage resource technicians, which means they've been trained on how to identify artifacts in the field, cultural sites and things like that. And being an HRT certified, they would qualify to be a tribal monitor on the line. We also have a tribal archaeologist that would be out there too to make sure if anything came up that construction crews would be aware and know to quit and stop work and to handle the situation.
How many miles are the 18 spots in system?
Altogether, I'm not sure how long, how much. Some of the areas are probably 500 feet or more. But altogether, I haven't added up the area of that many, of all 18 sites.
Thank you.
I guess my question is, the individual landowners that pipeline's coming through their properties, they were given notice that their land would be surveyed and that they would be compensated financially. Has Muskogee Creek Nation received any money from the Diamond Pipeline or from any subsidiary working on the pipeline? Because my understanding is that's part of the dodge and weave from the pipeline is that you have the pipeline company, then you have the contractor who does the land. The pipeline's coming through my in-law's property
And for them to ask a simple question, they have to call 10 people. Mm. It's very time consuming, it's very frustrating, and it's very confusing, or it was for my husband's elderly grandparents. So I guess my biggest question is, have we received any money on any level from anybody having to do with pipeline for the nation, for this land?
Not that I'm aware of, I don't think we have. I think that, I guess, and maybe I didn't explain it very well, but I think the benefit for the nation was getting it moved away, and I think that was in lieu of payment to agree to move it away from our property, Duck Creek Casino, that property line. So I think that was done, one, in lieu of a payment. They agreed to do that because that was going to cost them to change the plans and to move it. And then I think the other thing in consideration was, you know, no lawsuit as well. So I think those were the two things that the nation, I guess, received for out of this agreement to grant it, but again, it would be moved.
So really, this landowner just set down a bunch of headaches in our lap, so we'd have to deal with it instead of him dealing with it.
Yeah, that's, again, the unfortunate thing is we got it, and it was already there, and we didn't know it, and so, yeah, that's, and I probably wasn't clear enough on this either. The condemnation action was filed early on in June. We took the property in July. Like a week or so later, they filed a notice to put any landowner on notice that, hey, if you're taking this property, you're taking it with this easement or this right to condemn and to come through and build a pipeline, you're taking it. Then 2 days later is when we got a quitclaim deed of our without our knowledge. And so basically we're stuck with the property with this right to condemnation to come through. So yeah, we kind of got the short end of the deal there. We took it with that already on it. So that's where we were somewhat limited. And then they contact the nation to say, hey, by the way, we see you've got this interest on this property. It was quick deed to you, but we already had, through condemnation proceedings, we already had a right to come through. So do you want us to sue you? Or would you be willing to try to work something out? You grant us a right-of-way, it will be moved up to the north, and we'll allow you still to build a road over it and use it to access both your property and the RV ranch if we ever so desired to do that, or if we built a hotel and wanted a roadway there. But yeah, I think that's fair to say. We kind of got it with baggage with it.
Thank you.
Sonia.
The right-of-way companies have come to our office a few years ago when they first started this project and gave us a route. Claim Line is the only other company that is going through our trust property, Twin Hills, and they're doing a transmission line, which we have to go through FBIA through easement, and they haven't started that process yet with us, so.
The tribe in general was notified years ago that this was going to be happening. I mean, do we have a policy in place so that we're all clear on these communications? And who knows what? Was this something that you knew coming in the door, Chief Lloyd, that this was just handed off to you and said this process has already been started? Or was this just a fire that needed to be put out? I mean, what is our policy on this? Because if we knew this years ago, why are we just now getting to some of this information as, you know, people who are the decision makers?
Yes, go ahead, Chief.
There was no handoff. These are many other things. So, no, there's no prior notification. I mean, walked in the door of any existence of this.
So does this coming up help you, like maybe you guys are gonna sit down and have a clear communication policy that's established? Or, I mean, because again, as decision makers sitting at this table, I had no idea that we had been notified years ago or that a lot of this stuff was going on the, you know, behind the curtain, so to speak. So how do we become more effective communicators so that we all know everything that we need to know before we make these decisions?
Well, there's a couple different ways. One, the ones that's required under Section 106, we get those notifications on a daily basis, and those go to Raylene's office. So we have those of record, and that's we keep track of all of those. Most of those are out of state, but we do follow that. But, you know, I think there's more probably informal way where they would just go to her office and inquire directly. And maybe not even notify our office. They're not required to. If it doesn't affect our property or if it's not a federal project or any jurisdiction of the Corps of Engineers that would require them to know those by us, then we may not know.
Mark.
You know, I think about last year when it came around, and I know you can't change the past. When we were in committee, I voted no because my gut was telling me nothing to do with the pipeline could be good. Mm-hmm. But when it came to council, then we heard eminent domain, and we heard all, you know, these things. But now I think, you know, we look at what where we are presently, but we also have to look at the future. And I'm glad your questions, Representative Barnett, because I'm thinking, what is our stance going to be? This ain't going to be the last pipeline. You look at this, what's going on in D.C., we're going to be, there's going to be more coming toward us. And I'm just hoping that we can all be on the same page. And we've got to make a stance. You know, how do we feel about this? Are we going to, you know, say it's okay and, you know, just permit it? Or are we going to make a stance, you know, and say, you know, some things you got to fight for. If they're good, you know, you've got to, most things that are really good, you got to fight for it, you know. So I'm just saying, you know, we got to look to, you know, as a nation, how are we going to deal with this? How are we going to deal with it better than we did already? Thank you.
Joyce.
I just had a question. When it was presented last year and we voted on it as a council, I looked back and it was voted unanimously.
The full council.
The full council, yes. Mm-hmm. And I thought it said that it would be a beneficial to the nation. What was the benefit to the nation that was presented to us? That's for Sonia. Or didn't you present it to us? It wasn't
no,
you.
It's V-Land.
I presented.
Okay.
I did the work on that. The benefit that Kevin had discussed was the movement of the line north away from the boundary of Duck Creek. In contemplation of construction of the hotel and in the easement that was ultimately executed, we preserved the ability to put a road or a parking lot in over that easement in contemplation of future development for that particular issue. We were kind of behind the eight ball on this deal. You know, we got it with the condemnation action already proceeding, which is a superior claim to what we have. Kevin's right, the position that we have is not one that was very strong, and I exercised my judgment in consultation with the other attorneys at the AG's office at that time to put together a proposal that I thought, from a legal perspective, would put the nation in the strongest position to be able to avoid a lawsuit and maintain the property.
I just wish there would have been consultation with the tribe before all of this. You know, at the beginning of it, if they're coming across our property, there should be a consultation, shouldn't there?
Under the legal framework that we're subject to currently, there's no requirement for them to consult with us unless they are crossing tribal land. Now, they do give us notice, and Raylene, the Cultural Preservation Office, has been working on Diamond Pipeline for some time, but our legal position, since we did not at the time initially own property, when they were plotting the path of the line, They didn't really have any requirement to consult with us at that time. We were not subject to the Section 106 consultation process. But for the culturally significant areas that Raylan had previously mentioned, and that's a negotiation between us and the pipeline as far as what we can work out together. They're not legally required to do that. So they're just required to consult and consent, and if it's not within the permitted areas that are covered by the Army Corps of Engineers, there's no requirement for them to provide anything to us.
Is that it?
Yes, thank you.
Any other questions? Comments? You had mentioned earlier about what we can do in future. It's talking about having tribes notified. What was that you were?
Currently, we're notified under the Section 106 consultation process. And Section 106 refers to the procedure that federal administrative agencies are required to provide notice and consultation with the tribes for federally permitted projects. Now, that process requires government-to-government consultation, which means they meet with any and all tribes that have interest in the area and properties that are being crossed of those tribes. Raylan can speak more to what those consultations look like. I had the opportunity to sit in on a couple and advise and consent when I was at the AG's office. The way that we request expansion is to request that the entirety of a crude domestic crude pipeline be covered under a Section 106 consultation process. That's going to be a big deal, and it's going to take probably the entire lobby of the tribes across the nation to be able to push that, because it's huge. Like, I can't even explain how big of a hurdle that's going to be to get over. That's why there's such a big problem with the Dakota Access Pipeline right now. And with the current administration, I mean, it's a fight, and it's probably going to be one of the biggest fights that the tribes nationwide are going to have to deal with. So that would be the way to do it. If there was a way to get the state on board and have the state require that there be some sort of permit available, that's another option as well. Also a fight due to the oil and gas lobby in the state. So that would be the way to address it, and the best way to do that would probably be find some way to band together to have a stronger and louder voice be heard. We're at a significant disadvantage because of our removed status and the allotment process, which divested the nation of so much property, and restricted landowners of so much property. So we don't own as much, we don't have as much say over as much property within our tribal jurisdictional areas.
Mm-hmm. All right, thank you. Any other questions? Comments?
Please go.
Yes.
Jacob Wynn, you got to see me here before when we did the resolutions for staying wrong. Sorry, I've been sick. Chairman Mueller, there you go. We got bullied into it. I called you earlier, and that's how all this happened. We got bullied into it. It's going to continue to happen. You're right, Marcus. They're coming from D.C., but they don't have to come here anymore. I go to Standing Rock, you know, because of the environmental impact, Bismarck put it over there. And they tried that nation because they knew they were poor. They knew they didn't have the funding. That's what these oil companies do. That's what they've been doing. That's why there are so many in Oklahoma right now. We can't allow this anymore. Can't allow them to bully us. Somebody gave us land so they would stop bullying us? In 300 feet? How far is that really to an oil spill when it goes? Because I can show you out in Holmville, the EPA's cleaning up 2 years. 800,000 gallons. It's taking them 2 years. They still have a year and a half. 300 feet from... I don't know any red... When I go to a hotel, I don't want to see oil front property at my hotel. I go to have a good time. Why don't we use that little piece of land he donated us for a golf course? You know, 300 feet were the golf course. I'd rather see that than a pipeline. And it's running right past Duck Creek, their tribal town. What if something happens, you know, in the midst of their traditions, and then they're going to listen to equipment being brought in, equipment being moved, or maybe even cut off to there? Who knows? Yeah, this is going to be costly. It is. You know, they thought Standing Rock wasn't going to be able to fight them. They got a GoFundMe account with $680,000 and go several GoFundMe accounts for the legality of it. We talked about that issue. Because we were going to go donate $5,000 for them. We have nations that will help us too. We're not alone. Nobody else wants this. They don't want any more. And they could have put this line in going on previous lines that they need to pull that are busting, that are from the 1930s. And yes, Cushing needs to get that oil out of there before there is another huge earthquake and all those containers collapse. They were brought here in the 1940s, Phillips brought them here because there were no fault lines in Oklahoma. That's why they were brought here. But there are now. And what are we filling it with, fracking? Why do you think there's earthquakes? That wasn't made to go in the ground, and it ain't made to go in the ground here. My kids have to live here. I was raised here. I don't have to move because there's an oil spill. There's people who can't use their waters right now. Bristow, because of chemical oil spills. Bristow's one of them. Haskell, town I live in your jurisdiction, Marcus, we can't use our water. I have to go buy water. My kids have to bathe in it. I really hope y'all make the right decision here, because this is going to be it. This is it. I'll donate everything I have for a legal fund to fight them. I don't care. What do I have to lose every day? What do we have to gain from this pipeline? What are we gaining? Nothing. But if it blows, what do we lose? And it's going to, there's other earthquakes. There's going to be other earthquakes. I can sit up here and talk to y'all all night long, but y'all hold these positions. I really wouldn't want to. I really would, because I sat through these meetings. It's got to be hard to make a decision to where things go. But this is a lot deeper than that. This is all of us. This isn't just, a tribal church or a tribal town. This is us. And what are we going to do? File a resolution for Standing Rock? We can't file a resolution for ourselves because we got bullied by a smaller pipeline? That's all I got. But thank you guys for listening. None of these decisions you have to make are pretty easy.
All right, thank you.
Mado.
Any other comments? Roll call vote.
Mark Randolph.
Yes.
Del Beaver.
Yes.
Thomas Shahola.
Yes.
Chairman, at 3-0, 0-0.
3-0, 0-0. That motion passes. Next item we have is NCA 17-017, a law in the Stoat Creek Nation authorizing a special appropriation to Covenant Harvest Ministries. Sponsors Mark Randolph.
Motion for due pass.
Motion for due pass by Mark Randolph.
Seconded
by Del Beaver. We're in discussion.
Chairman, I think it's pretty self-explanatory. Their expenses were $7,619, asking for $2,000. 70 members, 63 of them are Creek citizens.
We have any representatives from this church?
They're not here tonight. I didn't see them.
Any questions?
Chairman.
Mm-hmm.
I'm assuming this money doesn't come out of the grant funding. This is just a surplus appropriation.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Mark Randolph.
Yes.
Del Beaver.
Yes.
Thomas Shahola.
Yes.
Chairman, got 3-0, 0-0.
3-0, 0-0. That motion passes and it will be referred to BF&J for funding source.
Thank you.
Next item we have is NCA 17-018, Law of Muscogee Creek Nation appropriating funds to be used toward the purchase of real property located in Okmulgee County, Oklahoma. Sponsor is Dale Weaver.
Chairman, I make a motion for due pass.
Motion for due pass by Dale Weaver.
Second.
Seconded by Mark Randolph. Any discussion?
For the purchase of the property we talked about earlier.
Okay. In response to the TR we just passed earlier. All right. Any questions? No questions. Roll call. James, sorry.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have a question for Mr. Adams. So, do they have a good title for the property?
Yeah. It would be, I mean, this person would be dependent upon a clear title review by the AG's office.
Thank you. Thank you, James.
No problem, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Any other questions, comments? Speaker.
I don't know what they're doing. We've cracked about having a good title, and Mr. Asbell knows that. I'm sure he's not going to be a bad title.
If it's not a good title, then we just won't purchase it.
Yeah, I think this is completely different than what we just got done speaking about. That was a donation that was given to us. This is a land transaction with a contract, which requires us to get good title and got to meet environmentals, all that stuff. So this is different, a completely different transaction. So we will make sure we have good title before we close on the property. If they can't give us good title, we have the option to walk away.
Right. Well, the reason I bring that up is we have the Bauman property by the clinic. That's sitting there and can't be in trust because we don't have a good title to it.
It's just
needed
to go in trust. We just had to do a lot of work to it before.
Thank
all
you.
Those ones that have bad title, I fix them to be put in trust by chief.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Any other questions? No questions. Roll call vote.
Dale Weaver.
Yes.
Thomas Shahola?
Yes.
Mark Randolph?
Yes.
Chairman, I got 3 in favor, 0 against.
3 in favor, 0 against. That motion passes. And be referred to BFMJ for a funding source.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Mm-hmm. I want to make a motion to reconsider TR 17012. That's the first bill that we've addressed.
TR 17-012.
It was on the collections.
Mm-hmm. Motion been made to reconsider TR 17-012.
Second.
By Thomas Yehola, seconded by Mark Randolph. We need a roll call vote on that.
Thomas Yehola?
Yes.
Mark Randolph?
Yes.
Dale Weaver?
Yes.
Chairman, 3 in favor, 0 against.
All right. Okay, TR 17-012. We need a motion for a
motion
for due pass by Thomas Yehola. Seconded by Mark Randolph. Now we're in discussion.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman,
mm-hmm.
The reason I brought this up for to reconsider, I've been with this committee, you know, 2 times, and I felt like in some of the discussion that we had, that I think we that the full council. I would like to take this to the full council and to let them, you know, discuss it and make a decision. I know we're just, you know, committee. You know, we have an obligation, but I feel that this, I think we fulfilled our obligation by asking questions and getting answers. But I feel like, too, that the National Council as a whole should have their input, and that can be done on the floor. So that's my reason for a reconsideration.
More comments? comments? I'd like to make a comment. I know we have discussed this, like you said, in the past committee. As you can see, over half of the council is not here to hear that discussion. I guess they can always get the recordings to hear it. We go through committee for this purpose, for discussion, and it's not to say we can't discuss this on the floor. But there have been a lot of dialogue, and Mr. Randolph has done a very good job of communicating with the family. But I know sometimes we have to, in committee, decide whether we want to or not. We do have a decision to make, and that's a decision we do have to make. But in response to you bringing it back up, and it's something that's entirely in your realm to have it pulled to full council. But I just want to make that comment. Sometimes that committee is where discussion and decisions can be made. But that was all I wanted to say. Any other comments? Roll call vote.
Thomas Shahola.
Yes.
Mark Randolph.
Yes.
Bill Beaver.
No.
Chairman, I got 2 in favor, 0 against. One against. Sorry.
Two in favor, 1 against. That motion passes. Now we're in down to other business. Do we have any other business? No other business. Next we have is announcements. Yes.
I wanted to ask a question. Several of us today are now living in the Facebook world, but I was not aware that this was going on. There was a post for people asking if we as a tribe had sent a letter of support to the National Indigenous Women's Resource Center in support of Standing Rock. They were bringing out issues regarding the pipeline as it pertains to women and children being in danger. There's a lot of sexual assault that happens in that area because of the oil industry, and there are lots of tribes that have sent letters of support for this. The deadline is actually tomorrow, but I was asked today if we had sent a letter of support for that, and I was unaware that was going on. To my knowledge, we did not send any letters of support.
No,
I do not recall signing any letter of support, but I don't think I've been notified either or given any correspondence from them to my knowledge. I have not seen any.
I forwarded the information to Chief and to the Speaker.
Okay.
The lady contacted me that was on there.
Okay.
Yeah, so yeah, it was just like today, like 4 o'clock or something. Because I saw the same thing. Waylon was the one that.
Right.
Her name, that's the way to look at it.
So we'll check it out first thing.
Okay. Yeah, because I think they had to have something by noon, I think, seems like.
Any other announcements? Now we're down to the benediction. Thomas, would you give us the benediction, which starts our adjournment, please?
Our Father in heaven, we come to you with a prayer of thanksgiving. We thank you for looking back for our nation and its citizens. And Father, we thank you for being in our presence tonight to help in our decisions. And Father, we ask you to continue to bless our citizens and this nation, and forgive our shortcomings and give us traveling grace as we turn to our families. But allow us to be here, and Father, be with our citizens also. All this we ask in most gracious name. Amen.
Amen.
All right.